Handle with care. You probably have seen that sticker on some package at one time or another. It means be careful how you handle it. You probably have heard someone say to you, be careful. It may have been your mother, your father, your wife, your husband, a co-worker, whatever. And we realize that that is basically a warning to be careful because something could happen. And we really need to think about that in terms of our spiritual lives as well, because there's a certain amount of care that is required to keep a soul spiritually healthy and headed in the right direction toward heaven. And a careless or forgetting to be careful attitude can cause great danger. Someone has said, life is fragile, handle with care. We know that's true. You got to be careful when you're subtracting numbers in your checkbook. You got to be careful when you're walking across ice. You got to be careful when you're talking to someone, a friend or relative, about a sensitive subject, and you want to help them but not discourage them. You have to choose your words carefully. In fact, when we think about it, the Christian life is a life that we live with great care. We take care of doing things the right way. Now, when we say to be careful, we're not saying to be anxious. We are to be careful but trusting in the Lord at the same time. Now, Paul said, be anxious for nothing. We know that in Philippians 4, verse 6. And so there's a difference between putting our trust in God and being careful to do what He says and living a careless life without regard to what God has told us to do. And so with this kind of a background, I want to suggest to you this morning that in the New Testament there are three basic words that translate the idea and emphasize our need to be careful. I'm going to use those not because they're important or anything, just because I want to show the three facets of care that are necessary for us as Christians. The first word, frontizo, means thoughtful care. The second word, spoida, relates to earnest care. And the third word, akrabos, relates to exacting care. Just a brief word about each of these, looking at some ideas from the Scripture to help us to know that, hey, we need to be careful in how we think. We need to be careful in a way that is very earnest. And we need to be careful in looking at exactly what God wants us to do. So let's look at that first idea for a moment, thoughtful care. The word is emphasized in Titus chapter number 3 and verse 8. Paul says, this is a trustworthy statement. And concerning these things, I want to speak confidently so that those who have believed God may be careful to engage in good deeds. I want you to be careful to engage in good deeds. Now, if that word is a word that relates to our thought processes, then we need to be careful in deliberating and thinking about the kind of good deeds that we want to do for others. And you know, that draws my mind to Hebrews chapter 10 for a moment, where think of the inspired writer there saying, let us consider, that's a thoughtful thing, let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good works. Let's think about how we can encourage one another to do the right thing. And so I suggest to you this word frontizo engages the mind. We need to use thoughtful care. to engage in good deeds. We need to consider what's going on. And so remember this, that a person's mind controls his or her actions. It comes from the thought of the heart. And of course, we sometimes quote Proverbs 23:7, which says, "The good man out of his good treasure, or as a man thinks in his heart, so is he." Jesus is the one who said in Matthew 12, "A good man out of his good treasure brings forth that which is good, and the evil man out of his evil treasure brings forth that which is evil." And so it begins in the mind. It begins in what we think about. And genuine caring, then, is as much an act of the mind as it is an act of the heart. And when we think about that, just remember this. Think about this. How many times have you seen someone, or maybe you received a gift, and the thought that came to mind concerning that gift is, how thoughtful was that gift? It wasn't kind of like, you know, it's Valentine's Day, I've got to get a card. That looks good enough. Here we go. Put some X's and O's on it and sign it. But to do something thoughtful requires a little more time, doesn't it? So to engage in thought, the church that cares is a church that shares materially, emotionally, spiritually, and is a church that gives thought to how we do these things. You know, when you look at the scriptures, you find that the church is to be sharing the gospel. And Mark chapter 16, one of the places where Jesus said to go into all the world and preach the gospel. He said, to every creature, he that has believed and has been baptized shall be saved. He who has disbelieved shall be condemned. And he talked about going and sharing. Now, it would behoove us, it would help us to consider how that might be done. To think about the best way to get that done. God has not given us specifics on how we must go, just tells us to go. So we might give that some thought. A second thing that we're to share is help for the needy. Galatians 6:10, which says, "So then while we have opportunity, let us do good to all men, especially those of the household of the faith." And so when we're talking about this idea of thoughtfulness, we would consider how we might best help people who are in need. It might be considering a long-term approach. It might be helping them to help themselves. It could be a number of different things, but thought needs to go into that process. Thoughtful care is also seen as we think about how to support one another emotionally. Scripture says to rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. Romans 12, verse 15. Thought goes into how can I best help someone who is going through a period of grief over the loss of a loved one, or difficulties with their health, or whatever. How can I be really thoughtful about that? In our idea of praying for one another, again, we're told to be devoted to prayer, Colossians 4, verse 2, and to keep alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. So when we pray, not just simply here's our list, let me go through the list, but maybe thoughtfully pray about the person involved and about what would help that person and give some thought and consideration to that. So what we think about then, this idea of caring, taking care of one another, thoughtful care is important. Now the second word I want to mention for just a moment is earnest care, from the word spoita, which has to do with haste, diligence, or earnestness. It's an interesting word in the New Testament because it means to get right on it and to stay right on it and to keep on right on it. It's all of that together. A few examples we might mention concerning the haste. Exodus 12, verse 11, talking about the Passover feast as it is established, eat it with haste. And to get a fuller picture of the idea, we remember that these people were supposed to be dressed and ready to go, wearing their shoes, all ready to walk out the door. And so they were to eat it in haste, ready to move. Mark 6:25 talks about Herod's stepdaughter, when she got advice about what she should ask for from Herod. Her mother told her to ask for his head on a platter. And the Bible says, immediately she came with haste before the king. It was not something that she was delaying or putting off or timid about. She came with haste. In Luke 1, verse 39, Mary, finding out that she was with child of the Holy Spirit, arose and went with haste to the hill country, to a city of Judah, to be with Elizabeth. In Jude, verse 3, Jude writes, I was making every effort. That's the word earnestness. I was being very intent, very deliberate, really on the subject of appealing to you, brethren, for our common salvation, that I felt the necessity to write to you appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith which is once for all delivered. So acting with earnest care means that we're not going to delay it. We're going to get right on it, and we're going to stay right on it as long as we need. We're going to be intense about it. Earnest care is really the opposite of what, sadly, most of us do. You know, I need to do something. I need to show my concern in this way, but I'll do it tomorrow or next week. And you and I both know that a lot of times that means that it doesn't get done. So the opposite of what we're talking about is procrastination. It's instead acting in haste, with immediacy, with earnestness and deliberation to get it done quickly. When the Ethiopian eunuch was studying with Philip the Evangelist in that chariot, and he discovered what it means to understand Jesus and the gospel, he said, "Look, water. What prevents me from being baptized?" There was a certain haste in that, wasn't there? He was concerned about getting it done because that's what God wanted him to do. And of course, Philip said, "If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, you may." And he did believe. And they went down into the water and Philip baptized him. That was an example of earnest care. The Inspired Record talks about the jailer in Acts chapter 16, verse 33, and how he and his household obeyed the gospel that very hour of the night. What hour of the night? Earlier it said it was midnight, the middle of the night. He wasn't told, "Now wait, in a couple of weeks we're going to baptize a whole bunch of people. Down the road a couple of months we're going to do that." It's earnest care means you obey the gospel as you understand the gospel, and you understand you need to obey the gospel and be baptized. You obey the gospel that way. This earnest care is what keeps us going. It keeps us keeping on day after day. Hebrews 6, verse 11 says, "And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence so as to realize the full assurance of hope until the end." Diligence. That's what they needed. In Hebrews, the author says, this is what you need to show diligence until the end. Just keep on keeping on. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5, as Peter is listing what we call the Christian graces, he begins with the word faith, and he says, "For this reason, also applying all diligence to your faith, supply moral excellence, and to your moral excellence, knowledge," and so on and so on. But he says, you don't wait and say, "Well, someday, I think maybe New Year's is just around the corner. I think maybe in a few days I'm going to really apply all diligence and start growing as a Christian. If you understood the need for growth, you would understand right now is the time to act, not two or three days from now. Right now, apply all diligence. And that's earnest care. And the third point I want to make this morning, excuse me, is the word akrobos, exacting care. Or it kind of sounds like the word accurate. It means to do exactly the right thing in the right way. Carefulness. Ephesians 5:15 says, therefore, be careful how you walk. Not as unwise, but as wise. Now, you're not talking about walk. Some of you walk carefully. You have a good walk physically. But we're talking about how you live. And sometimes we need to be careful about how we live, as careful as we would be if we were walking on a sheet of ice. And we're thinking, I know it's kind of slippery out here. I better be careful. In our life spiritually, we need to live in a way that demonstrates care. The NIV translates that, be very careful. Now think about some examples for a moment. In Acts chapter 18, there was a man by the name of Apollos. And he had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and he was being fervent in spirit, speaking, teaching accurately the things concerning Jesus, being acquainted only with the baptism of John. Now, Apollos was teaching accurately the things about he knew about Christ. But as he began to speak out boldly in the synagogue, Priscilla and Aquila heard him and took him aside and explained him the way of God more accurately. So he was concerned and had exacting care about preaching the truth about Jesus. But when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, he did not understand the Great Commission baptism. And so they took him aside and explained it more perfectly to him. And he went and did that. So the exacting care was demonstrated in his life. A couple of other examples in Acts chapter 23. As Paul is going through some difficulties before the council. And the council, When Paul was rescued by the soldiers and the men of Jerusalem wanted to have him come down, and they wanted to have him come before them, and they sort of made a little bit of a pretense for being interested in getting the exact information, getting the exact things that were being said, when they were really actually wanting him to come down so that on the way down they could kill him. Okay? This is what they said. They said, now therefore, you and the council, notify the commander. Bring him down to you, as though you were going to determine his case by a more thorough investigation. And we, for our part, are ready to slay him before he comes near the place. They weren't interested, really, in learning more information, but they pretended to, and that's how they used that word in that example. Another example is Matthew chapter 2. Remember King Herod? When King Herod was upset, everybody was upset. He heard there was somebody born king of the Jews. He wanted to know who this was, where he was. The wise men came. They were sent to Bethlehem. He said to them, go and search carefully for the child. And when you have found him, report to me, that I too may come and worship him. He wasn't interested in worshiping Jesus. He wanted to kill him. He said, you go search carefully. Accurately, you pinpoint where he is, and you come tell me where that is, so that I may worship him. I'm pointing this out now: exacting care, being accurate. Is it important to be accurate in what we believe? Is it important to be accurate in what we practice? Is it important to be accurate in the reasons we do things that God tells us to do things? I think we recognize that. Concerning our study, think about Acts 17, verse 11, where the people of Berea were said to have been more noble-minded than those at Thessalonica because they searched the Scriptures, examined with great eagerness, examining the Scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. So they weren't just taking Paul's word for it. They were taking what he said and they were going and looking through the Scriptures, the scrolls, and finding prophecy after prophecy and applying it, as did Paul, to make sure they were actually correct in what they were assuming. In our worship, is accuracy important? Does it really matter how we worship? Well, the Bible says that Jesus said we must worship in spirit and in truth. Those are the two things that under which we would outline everything else that we do from Scripture. In spirit, it needs to be from the heart. To worship rightly, we must engage the heart, spirit. And to worship correctly, we need to engage the Word of God, truth. Thy Word is truth. We want to worship God with all of our heart according to what the Scripture says that we are to do in our worship. And that would be accurate. That's how that applies. And what about our obedience? Is it important for us to be accurate in the things we do as we seek to obey God? James talks to us as Christians. He says, but prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. Be not just hearers that hear and then go away and do nothing, but learn what the Scripture says. Learn exactly what it requires of us and practice that. And concerning doctrine, we might mention this from 2 Timothy 1:13. Paul said to Timothy, maintain the standard of sound words which you heard from me, in the faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. The Bible is our guide. It is our playbook. It is what we look at and we study and we grow and we listen and then we practice what the Bible says. We have no reason to add to or take away from it, just to practice it. Now, putting these thoughts together for a moment, life is fragile, and we must handle it with care. Care is needed to do all that God requires of us, because that's our goal. Now, these passages we have listed here, Deuteronomy 28, verse 1, from the Old Testament, right? Under the Old Testament, Scripture says, now it shall be, if you diligently obey the Lord your God, being careful to do all His commandments, which I command you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. And in Deuteronomy 15, verse 5, again, speaking to the children of Israel, if only you listen obediently to the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all this commandment which I am commanding you today. If you go back and listen to all that and you read all the context there, you say, that's a big job. Be very careful to do exactly what God says to do in every single thing He has spoken. And then we wipe our brow and say, whew, I'm glad I'm not under the Old Testament. Well, we have a better mediator and a better covenant and have better promises. How could we be satisfied with any less of an attitude than that? Besides that, Jesus, at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. We are not exonerated from disobedience or excluded from carrying out the will of Christ. Actually, we live under a system of grace, but grace is accepted by faith. Faith is a system of belief that we get, that we act on. Things that we do by faith, they're not meritorious, but they are required. And so we look at this and say, we need in our lives to have that carefulness. We need to think about it like this, you know. Sometimes we get careful. We urge people to be careful. There's a storm coming. Be careful. The roads are icy. Be careful. It's raining hard out there. Be careful for this and be careful for that. But are we as concerned about taking the careful into the spiritual realm and being careful to listen to everything Jesus has told us to do with an attitude of obedience, not meritorious obedience, but loving obedience to His will? We need that earnest, thoughtful, exacting care. And we ask you this morning to think about that. Consider that. What have we allowed just to slip? What have we allowed just to be ignored? And what do we need to pay more careful attention to? We must pay much closer attention to the things which we have heard, lest we drift away from them. This morning we'll sing an invitation song. If we can pray for you, if we can help you complete your obedience to Christ and in baptism, we invite you to come while we stand and while we sing.